Lord, can we stand to our feet right now? And why don't you let out a triumphant praise? Because you serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and His kingdom is victorious on every front. No matter if it's in your life or your family's life, His kingdom is victorious. And when we start to praise Him, He establishes Himself in His kingdom and His throne in our praise. Why don't you let out a victorious praise? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we recognize You as the all-victorious God. Hallelujah. Jesus. So thankful for the freedom of worship that we feel here today. There's nothing like this freedom. There is nothing like this freedom. We're so thankful for the presence of God that we feel today during this Memorial Day weekend as we commemorate the lives and the service, the sacrifice of many within our armed forces. We're truly blessed, church. We're blessed to live in the United States of America with the freedoms we so readily enjoy. And those freedoms are given to us, of course, because of the selfless sacrifice of so many men and women with our armed forces. I know we recognized them a moment ago with a moment of silence, but I'd like us to recognize them once again today. And would you do that with me with just a heartfelt applause of appreciation for their sacrifice? Would you do that? We are without a doubt indebted to them and to their service today, and we thank God for allowing us the freedom, not just the freedoms that are written and sealed in our Constitution, but the freedom of worship that we feel today is due in part to their sacrifice. We're indebted to them. If you would turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 42, start at verse 5, Psalm 42 and 5. And while you're turning, I would like to give honor to our pastor and our pastoral staff this morning. We're praying for their safety as they travel. And if you're a guest with us today, we do hope that you will return again and have the chance to meet them for yourselves. I'm sure you will not be disappointed. But in the meantime, I would like to extend their greetings to all of our guests and to our church family alike. And a great opportunity for you to return is next week, of course, Pentecost Sunday, as we commemorate the day the church started, Pentecost, in our history. Psalm 42 in verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." The psalmist is saying, I'm deeply discouraged, I'm downcast, I'm in despair. We read from the context that he is in a desperate situation. Twice, he says, his soul is downcast because of the troubles which surround him. And just a couple verses before our text, in verse 3, he recounts the question he continually faces. He says his tears confront him, and they ask him, "Where is your God?" Every time those tears flow down his face, he says, they ask, "Where is your God?" They ask repeatedly. But then he says something at the end of verse 6, you probably already read ahead. Seems to be the turning point and the tipping point of the entire chapter. If you read on in the following verses, the entire tone is shifted. He admits he's discouraged, he's despondent, he's downcast, disquieted, desperate. But it all shifts when he says, despite all of that and everything he's going through, "Therefore, I will remember you. I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar," from what seems to be a distant and a desperate position, even from the distant land of Mount Hermon, "I will remember you. I'll remember you." And so today, on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to preach to you for the next couple minutes from that simple concept in Psalm 42 and from this simple title, Remember. Remember. Look at your neighbor, tell them, "Remember." And you may be seated. Thank you. Last week, last Saturday, during an APC men's meeting, several men from this church gathered together here, and we drove over to Jefferson Barracks Cemetery, one of the largest of its kind in the nation, actually just under the size of Arlington National Cemetery. If you've ever witnessed the site at Jefferson Barracks, which is just up the road from here, less than a mile away, you will know that it is overwhelming to say the least. Rows upon rows of perfectly positioned headstones unfold across the rolling hills of that cemetery. You can tell the caretakers go to great lengths in order to line each of those memorial slabs geometrically with the rest. Creates very clean lines from every angle you look and every viewpoint. But even more impressive than the exact array of those grave sites is the men and women who occupy them. During our time there, we read of several of these individuals who gallantly gave their lives for this great nation. One of those individuals was named Private Martin Schubert of the Union Army. Despite being a Medal of Honor recipient, not much is known about Private Schubert except for the defining act which led him to receive such a prestigious award. It was during the Battle of Fredericksburg on December 13, 1862, Private Schubert earned his commemoration, his award. But the odd thing was, he should not have even been in the battle to begin with. He had been granted a furlough before the battle ever began because he had been wounded just days prior. He was not supposed to be in the fight at all, but according to the record, he gave up his pass in order to serve alongside his fellow soldiers. On top of that, several sources confirmed that during the course of the battle, Private Schubert noticed that not only one, but several flag bearers in his unit had been wounded and they had even been killed. However, despite his previous injury and despite the fact he wasn't even supposed to be there and despite the loss of every other flag bearer that had tried, Private Schubert took it upon himself to pick up the colors of our nation and to bear them even in the face of death. And he did so until he was wounded to the point where he was not physically able to carry that flag anymore. Through his act of bravery, he secured the highest honor a soldier can receive, the Medal of Honor. This was just one of many accounts we read last week as we remembered the sacrifice of our armed forces. And I remember at one point as my dad read about Private Schubert, my dad was leading that procession there, that men's meeting, that he, along with others who were there, including me, we couldn't help but get a little choked up as we remembered the selfless act of these courageous heroes. In fact, I would venture to say that just about every man that was present that day felt some kind of emotional response as we remembered the dedicated service of others. Because the reality is when you remember their sacrifice, when you recount and reflect upon their service, when you consider what they relinquished in the fight for our freedom, you often cannot help but respond in some manner, whether it's emotional or even physical. When we remember the price that was paid, it invariably invokes a response of gratitude and a response of thanksgiving. And I've come to tell you today that in the same exact way, when we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, when we remember His sacrifice, and when we remember who He is, we cannot help but respond in some manner. When we remember His greatness, and when we recall His faithfulness, and we reflect upon His goodness, it will inevitably evoke a response of thanksgiving and a response of worship. When we consider His power, and when we ponder His splendor, when we recount His excellence, it is only natural that a praise would rise within us, and that a wave of faith would overcome us. When we remember who we serve, we cannot help but respond. That's why David exclaimed in 1 Chronicles 16:8. He said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing songs to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore." Why? Because verse 12 says, "We remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. I'm telling you this morning, all it should take is just one moment of recollection. When we consider the sheer awesomeness and the power and the splendor of God, all it should take is one moment of remembrance that ought to evoke a praise and a response from our spirits and our hearts when we think about how great this God is that we serve and the God that's in this room. Oh, it ought to bring a praise out of the depths of our spirit and out of the depths of our hearts. It ought to evoke a response. When we remember who it is we serve, we cannot help but respond. You see, memory is a powerful thing. Memory is a powerful thing. Whether we realize it or not, even the most mundane memories call us to action. Even routine recollections can induce some kind of response within us. Remembering even the slightest or smallest detail can prove to provide an emotional or even a physical response, and I'll prove it to you. This one's just personal to me, but I feel like I may get an amen or two. When I remember that it's free breakfast day at Chick-fil-A, I cannot help but get a little excited. Got a pep in my step. Like, hey, what's up? You know, I do that regularly, but I'm all the more excited. And some of y'all are laughing because I like free breakfast. Okay? One memory. Some of you guys, maybe you'll to relate to this one. When you remember that it's trash day and you forgot to put the trash out on the curb. It's 3 a.m. and you wake up in a cold sweat. I gotta get the trash out there. It's snowing, 22 degrees, but you will push that trash can to that curb. Maybe in your pajamas, okay? There's a call to action. Just one memory. Just one memory. When you remember, this is going to get some of you. This morning that the roast is already cooking at home. It's already in the oven or the crock pot, simmering in all its glory. There is a reaction within the workings of our digestive systems. Stomachs begin to growl and mouths begin to salivate. Did I mention I'm hurrying along this morning? Some of you had that Memorial Day lunch ready to go. You're already thinking about it. When you remember you don't have work tomorrow because it's Memorial Day, you just about outshout everyone on your pew. They're wondering what's going on with you. I ain't working tomorrow. My day off. When you remember, the God you serve has never lost a battle. When you remember, the God you serve has never lost a fight, church. When you remember, he has never been defeated. He has never been confounded. He's never been confused. He's never grown weary. He's never grown faint. He's never been overwhelmed. He's never been outmatched. When you remember the God you serve is the Almighty One, the only undefeated One, the only invincible One, the only wise God, the Alpha, the Omega, the Eternal and Immortal King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you remember who He is, oh, a praise ought to start welling up in your heart, and faith ought to start overcoming your response when you remember who you serve. There ought to be a response. David continues in 1 Chronicles 16. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. His wonders among all the peoples. Why? Verse 25. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I remember He is great and He is greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. When I consider the greatness of God, when I consider His power, when I consider, oh, you just have to excuse me. I get a little excited when I remember who I serve, when I remember this great God. Oh, when I remember He's the King of Kings. He has never failed. He has never faltered. When I remember who He is, I I cannot help but respond. Oh, why don't you respond right now? In whatever way you want, would you just take the lid off of your praise right now and respond to the presence of God that's in this room? Oh, God, when I remember, when I get a glimpse again of who you are, I respond. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't help but respond. It's the way we were created. It is only natural when we think about how great this God is that we respond. And it is only natural when we consider and we remember his promises that we respond. It should not surprise us that when we begin to reflect upon the promises of God, that faith starts rising in our spirits. It should not astonish us whenever we receive a word, that word that has never failed us. When we start to read God's word, that faith just starts to rise. That's why some of us need to get back in the book like Pastor preached several weeks ago. Because I'm telling you, it'll cure some doubt. It'll cure some fear. When we get back to God's promises, we cannot help but respond. Sometimes we just need some childlike faith. In fact, I've made an observation over the past several years. I have limited experience in this area, okay? You have to excuse me. But I have noticed, it seems, that even more than adults or some of us who have been around a while, kids, young children, they remember promises and they remember things that have been told to them better than all of us. Have you all experienced this before? Okay. Whether it's because, there's a couple reasons I'm sure, but maybe because of that childlike faith or their limited experience with broken promises. But typically, it seems that children respond better to promises than we do. In fact, there was a young man who came here at Kids Explosion just last month. My dad and I were praying for him. I had never seen him before. We walked up to him. I got his name. He's praying right over here. We could tell God was dealing with his heart. I stopped him for a second and said, "Hey, bud. I said, I know you've repented of your sins, and I know you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hands. And when you do, you just start worshiping God, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll be speaking other tongues." He agreed with us. He started to raise his hands. And before he even got his hands in the air, he was already speaking other tongues. It shocked me. Whoa! He told us, "I feel like I'm going to fall over. I don't know what's going on." It was amazing. It was incredible. I wondered, why? It's probably because they actually believe when we tell them something. And on top of that, I've experienced this in my own family. I got two nephews here today. Some of my younger cousins. The kids can somehow remember promises from like years ago. I mean, there's a promise I gave them 3 years ago when we were taking them back home or something. They were bugging us from the back seat. They're like, "Remember the time when I was 5 and you told me you'd take me to that store?" I'm like, "I said that?" I mean, some of you can attest to this. I'm just happy if I can remember a promise I made yesterday. And in a small way, to some extent, this is indicative of a larger issue. We live in an age of forgetfulness. We've got more reminder apps than we have ever had. We've got more alerts and we've got more alarms than we have ever set before. Sometimes I don't even remember why I set an alarm. It's supposed to remind me of something, and I can't remember what it was supposed to remind me to do. We live in an age of forgetfulness. And oftentimes, this convoluted, this jam-packed world we live in, it clouds our memory to the point where we can even forget the promises of God. So it's no surprise that when we find ourselves in the middle of despair, the middle of hopelessness, that we are unaware of the fact that we actually have everything we need at our disposal. We find ourselves in the middle of a storm or a trial, and we may not realize it. But in those moments, we have every assurance that we will need to make it through. We have the promises of God, church. It's all here. We have His assurances. And just like that child, we literally have no experience with God's broken promises because He has yet to break one. So hear me. Sometimes we just need to stop and take a moment and reflect on the promises of God. And when we do, whether we're in the trial of our lives or the peak of our joy, do not be surprised when faith just starts to rise in your spirit and you believe, oh, I can make it through this one again. God promised it. I can make it through this trial. It's in the book. It's in His Word. I can make it through. Do not be surprised when you start to reflect on God's promises, that worship will start to rise from within your spirit or even a place that you thought was dead. Don't be surprised when a response begins to well up in your spirit, because the promises of God will do that. And just in case you forgot them, let me share a couple of them with you this morning. These are not all of them, but these are the ones that I like that have spoken to me. Hebrews 13 and 5. He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of us could hear that and walk out of here today and be all right. Take that promise with you. It's in the book. John 14 and 18. I will not leave you as orphans or leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, someone let this get in your spirit. Psalm 37 and 5, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their descendants begging for bread. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Isaiah 53, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. We've got a reason to worship this morning, church. We've got a reason to be excited. We've got a reason to believe. We have got the promises of God, and they will not fail you. They have never failed. They will never fail. This morning, when we remember who we serve, and we remember what He's promised, we can't help it. Partly because we're Pentecostal, but also because we're human. It's what we were created to do. We respond. And lastly, when we remember what He has done for us. When we remember what He has done for us, we cannot help but respond. The songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Praise God for saving me. Oh, it can't help it. It can't help it. The psalmist said it like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Have you ever been there? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth was renewed like the eagles. In other words, He forgave me, He healed me, He redeemed my life from destruction, crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, gave me good things and renewed my strength. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, there ought to be a praise coming out of my lips and a cry of worship coming out of my heart. You just have to excuse me for a minute. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, oh, I can't help but cry out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. You just have to excuse me for a moment. And why don't we just take a minute in a season? Why don't we worship God when we remember what He's done for us? We cannot help it. When I remember His grace and mercy, when I remember He's forgiven all my sins, when I remember going down in the water in the name of Jesus. And if you haven't had that happen in your life yet, you can have it happen today. your life can be changed today. When I remember being filled with the Spirit of God and seeing my life turn on its axis, I cannot help but respond in some way. Bruce Ball, when I remember just a couple weeks ago, waking up to a phone call early in the morning, Mariah's on the other end, my wife, crying and upset. When I remember getting there and looking at that back right tire in her car that was completely shredded, had blown out in the middle of the highway. And I remember her telling me, the police officers were asking her, how in the world did you not hit anyone in the middle of rush hour traffic when you swerved into three or four different lanes? When I remember them being confounded, how did you not get in a horrific accident? We've seen this one before. It's gone a lot worse than it had today. When I remember the angels surrounding that car and the protection of God, oh, I cannot help but worship God. I can't help but get excited. I can't help but be thankful. When I remember He was there when I couldn't be, I can't help but respond. We've got a reason to worship today. Has He done it for you, church? Has He protected you? Has He kept you? Has He turned your life around? Oh, if He's done any of the above, we ought to praise Him again. Would you do it right now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. When we remember what He's done, we cannot help but worship. And we cannot help but respond in faith. Because when I remember what God has done for me, I just can't help but think He can do it again. That the same God who was there for me in my past is the same God who's going to be there for me in my future. I can worship and I can have faith. Deuteronomy 7, the Lord's instructing the people of Israel before they enter the promised land. Verse 18, He reminds them, do not be afraid of the people you're going to encounter, but you shall remember well. Remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and what He did to all of Egypt. Remember what God's done. Remember your testimony, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. And then He says at the end of the verse, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. In other words, I did it for you back in your past. Remember what I did. Remember well what I did. And also realize I can and I will do it again. I know you're in a different place. It's a different territory. It's uncharted territory. But you're just going to have to trust me. I've done it for you before. I brought you out. I've given you victory before. And I will do it again. In other words, do not let fear dictate your thoughts, but allow the faith and the promises of God in your past and testimony to dictate your thoughts. Revelation 12 follows this pattern. The believers are confronted by the accuser, the enemy of their souls. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Their testimony. I was at school, Urshan College, a couple years ago. Brother Norris, one of my professors, many of you know him, he told us something that stuck with me. We were talking about witnessing to others. He said, just realize no one can argue with your testimony. No one can dispute your experience. It's yours. No one can argue or confront you about what God has done in your life and tell you that that didn't happen. You experienced it. In that class, he was speaking in terms of the power of our testimony as we witness to the lost, but I believe we can take that a step further this morning because our testimony is also powerful when we confront an enemy or we confront a trial. Revelation 12 proves that when you have a testimony like the one some of us have this morning that we've been praising God for, it cannot be refuted, it cannot be diminished, and it cannot be stolen. When we begin to recall what Jesus has done in our lives, I'm telling you, there is nothing that can stop the faith that begins to surge and overwhelm our adversary to the point where if all you've got is the blood of the Lamb covering your life and your testimony in your hand, you still have more more than enough to overcome him and to overcome the trial. When we remember what God has done, when he remember him healing my body or healing my family member, when I remember God delivering me, I cannot help but allow faith to rise in my spirit. That same faith I feel rising and has risen in this place today. Some of you need to take that faith home today. Some of you need to take it with you. I'm thankful we have it in church, but we need to take it outside of these walls. So when you get home and you confront that trial, that same enemy that's been against you, that fear or depression or anxiety, you can rise in your spirit with faith in one hand and your testimony in the other hand, and you can and you will overcome. You can withstand that trial, that enemy to its face, knowing that God has brought you through before, and the same God is going to bring you through again. You can know he did it for. He's done it before, enemy. He will do it again. I know it's the trial of my life. I know I'm outmatched in my own personal self. But God is too good. He's too great. His promises are for me. He's done it before, and I will overcome again. If you believe it, why don't you praise the Lord right now? Would you clap your hands all across this place in faith? Oh, why don't you stand to your feet right now? And would you just let that praise linger? Why don't we take a season right now? Would you lift your praise along with your faith right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, someone let out a victorious praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I remember what he's done, I cannot help but respond in some way. He's done it before, church. Some of you are witnesses of this fact, and you're here because of it. God can do it again on Memorial Day 2017. And who knows, maybe someone in this service this morning will look back on this day, and this will be part of your testimony. When you remember, God healed my body on that day. Faith was in the building and was working. It was working in my life when I started to remember what God has done. When I started to remember how great he is and his promises, and he healed my body, or he delivered me, or touched me. He can do it today. He can do it. In fact, I want to share one last story with you. Just last summer, my sister Nicole, right over there. Sorry, Nicole. She was having consistent abdominal pain every time she ate or consumed digested food. Got to the point where she had to go in for some testing because of that pain's consistency and the severity of it. They ran several tests on her. They eventually concluded she had a large gallstone lodged within her gallbladder. This was no ordinary stone, though, because it virtually filled that entire gallbladder. Doctors told her it was not able to be passed, was only able to be removed through extensive surgery. They planned to have that surgery at the beginning of this year, 2017. But I'm thankful to tell you, God had a different schedule in mind. Our family prayed together. We believe for a miracle. I was home alone several months ago praying for Nicole. I felt a sure word in my spirit. During that time of prayer, I felt the Lord speak to me, and he said, if you will go to her, lay your hand on her and speak my name, I will remove that stone completely. If you'll speak the name of Jesus, I'll remove it. It was a service just like this one, church. Nicole was in that back corner where she is by that door. I found her. Just went out on a limb. Wasn't really a limb. It's the word of God. Said, Nicole, I just feel a word in my spirit. I'm going to lay my hand on you. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus. And God is going to remove that stone before the doctors ever had the chance. About a month or two ago, I called Nicole. I was asking her about something completely different. And I realized that the window for her surgery had passed. I said, Nicole, what happened? I didn't hear anything about that gallstone. What was going on? You never told me what happened. In the most nonchalant manner. She said, oh, I didn't tell you? No, you didn't tell me. She said, it's gone. She said, I haven't had pain since the time we prayed. I'm completely healed. Oh, church, I know it's just my family, but I can't help but get excited when I remember what God has done in my life. I can't help but worship and praise when I think about what He's done. And I cannot help but wonder, what can God do in this altar this morning? And what can He do in your life? So at the front of this building open, I wonder if you've got a need in your life or your body. Would you just begin to step out right now? I open this altar all across this place. Whatever need you have, would you begin to come right now and flood this altar, but bring your faith with you? Would you step out right now all across this place, whether you've got a need or not? And would you agree together in faith? God can heal someone. God can deliver someone. God can do a work in your life. In Jesus' name. Oh, would you bring your faith right now and bring your worship? If you don't have a need, would you just step out right now and thank God and praise Him for what He's already done? And who knows? Maybe someone will be touched and healed right next to you. Oh, let's lift our voice right now.